Welcome to another episode of Feral and Fabulous. I am amazingly excited today because one of the things that I love about getting older is getting to spend time with some amazing longtime, lifetime friends that you develop over the years. And this lady is definitely one of those longtime besties from, I don't even remember how long ago, we're going to have to talk about it, but the fabulous Renee Penner. So, yay! Thanks for coming on and
thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. And I was just thinking, honestly, there are so many things that we could talk about. And of course, I think the best thing to do is kind of start off with how it all started, which was, I'll take us back to the 1980s, which is going to, you know, definitely date us a little bit. Yeah, hard to believe that we met in the 1980s. But anyway, I was working out at Southwest Research Institute, and I can't remember. I think I started there, or I got the job in 1992, and that was a whole nother story in itself. But anyway, I'd been working at Southwest Research, and absolutely, I'm going to admit this because I've been gone there for so long. And this is really nothing, not a knock against the Institute, because I think it's a great place and it's a wonderful place to work. It just wasn't my thing. I really was so freaking miserable until you started work there. And so what year did you start at Southwest Research?
It was in 1988.
Okay, 1988. So it was before, yeah, it's before I had Stephen. So
yes,
I do remember that now. But I just was so, like I said, because back in the day, you just really didn't have that many women professionals at the Institute. You just really didn't. And we were, of course, in the physics division at that time, which then later became the mechanical and fluids engineering division. But starting out, I always wondered, how on earth did you, of course, I don't have a background. I have a background in computer BDS, which was business data systems, but you were an engineer. And so how did you decide to become an engineer, which is how you ended up at Southwest Research?
Well, that's a good question. I was always really good in math and like science. But my dad pushed me to be in there and become an engineer because he wasn't an engineer, but he managed engineers.
Right. Right.
And so he said, you'd be great. You know, I heard this story all the time. My mom said, Gerald, if we want to hear that story, why don't you record it on a tape recorder? And when we want to hear it, we'll play it. So that's how many times I heard it.
Okay. So it was pretty much ingrained in you.
I went to UT Austin and majored in business.
Oh, I did not remember that.
Yep. Engineering route to business.
Okay.
I don't even know if they still have that. But I didn't like any of my business classes, so I went to engineering school after that. So it was kind of bass awkward.
Yeah.
So
no. But you ended up graduating from A&I, right?
I did graduate from A&I, which is now A&M Kingsville.
Oh, right. So, right. I forgot about that.
In mechanical engineering. And I ended up loving it until.
Yeah. Fast forward, like I said, when we were back in the 80s, I was so miserable there just because I just felt like I was on an island by myself. And so when you first started there, I was like, oh my gosh, a kindred spirit. Yeah. You know, I was really excited about that. So
definitely, because there weren't any. They'd send me on conferences. I would be the only woman.
Yeah.
And everybody'd look, why are you here? I'm like, right. And I go, I don't know. Why are you here?
Right. For the same reason you are.
I know. It was just different. But, you know, we were so used to that.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I just let things roll off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and of course, it didn't take us long. We worked together a very short period of time where we were fast friends. You know, I was like, oh my God, please let's figure out how to survive this journey, you know, together. And so it was
because researchers are a different breed.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So. And I think you're maybe a little bit more of a researcher than I am, but even still, I don't think you're that much of a researcher. I mean, you are, but with your engineering background, I feel like you definitely, it was more of a, I think, an easier fit for you. But for me, I'm such a, well, you're a social butterfly too. So I feel like the two of us together, it's like, we just were like ducks out of, I don't know.
It was definitely, thank God you were there.
Well, no, absolutely. I was just like, I don't even know.
I mean, I think there were times we couldn't even look at each other in meetings because it was so ridiculous. And we would have to walk out.
I know.
And
I
go
know.
Just it was crazy.
Well, those were the days because we.
But again, it's women and men think differently. I mean, I liked working with men because you didn't have the drama that you do with women. But what I soon found out is men have lots of drama too.
Yeah, just different kinds of drama.
Just different kinds.
But you and I, like I said, we were like just so closely knit. And I feel like you said, we got to the point where we would have a very difficult time even being in a meeting because we'd be at a table full of like 10, 15 people. And literally we would be the only women, you know, in the room. And then again, and we couldn't even make eye contact because if we did, we were going to lose it. And it was just going to be really ugly. And so, and then we would be so traumatized. I remember one time, it was early on that I think we had had you over to the house. I don't remember what year it was, but I think that we were doing, we were blowing off some steam and we both loved AC/DC.
Oh yeah.
And so you were doing like Angus,
I think that was a New Year's Eve party.
Was that a New Year's Eve party? Anyway, yeah, you did Angus and you literally did one-legged Angus doing the guitar all the way off the deck in the back. It was like, oh my God, she just went off the deck. And I was like, Renee. And so thank God you were okay.
Yeah. Well, if you'd had railings, I probably would have been okay.
True. It was a rental. What can I say? But this is back in the 80s. So
so much fun.
Landlords didn't care back then. It looks like you could do anything as a landlord and you could kind of do anything as a tenant. I mean, it was just kind of the wild, wild west, you know? So definitely it's interesting because I think that may have been part of my journey is to getting back into real estate. And so what, other than your dad, obviously your dad was kind of, you know, pushing you to do the engineer thing. Once you were doing the engineer thing, did you like it?
I did. Okay. Once I went to the smaller university, I really enjoyed my classes. I like math. I almost became a math major.
Yeah. Well, but you were always so smart.
The counselor at UT discouraged me from that.
Actually, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You said it's not math like you think, it's weird math.
Okay. That's interesting.
Which was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. But you always were so good. I mean, and I know that, you know, I left the Institute first and then you were still there for several more years, I think.
Yeah. I was there for a couple more years until they started trying to roll you and me and another tech we had, like all those jobs into me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that because I think once I left and they were probably putting my stuff with you and then somebody else's stuff with you. And so, it was like three for one.
I mean, I really did like what I did.
Yeah.
It's just the traveling was hard. And
yeah,
that's kind of
true.
Thing, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I remember I was even traveling a lot when I was there. So I didn't realize what a transition it was going to be to go into real estate. But of course, I left the Institute to go into real estate. And then when do you think it was? And I'm trying to remember, when's the first time you asked me about, hey, because I'd already been doing real estate for a while. Because of course, I'd grown up in the business. So for me, I'd been in real estate. And then when I got my degree, I was like, oh, I need to go get a real job. And so I thought, okay, well, and of course I actually, while I was bartending at Steak and Ale, I actually met the vice president of the physics division. And so he's like, hey, I think you'd make a great employee, you know? And so I'm like, okay, I didn't have any other job offers. So I thought, why not? So that's how I ended up there. But I just feel like at that point, what do you think is the reason that, I mean, when I left, what caused you to kind of reach out and say, hey, I'm kind of thinking about the first time when you said, I'm kind of thinking about real estate, but you didn't do anything at that time, but you reached out about it. When was that?
That was in 2006 when I was getting divorced.
Okay, that's right.
And you said, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it was too much and the three kids and everything. And it's probably a blessing you did because then 2008 happened.
Oh, I know. That's so true. Yeah. And boy, and at the time I really didn't see, honestly, I can say I didn't see what was coming.
Right.
And so, but I just remembered you were going through so much personally.
Right.
And by then I had been doing real estate for so many years that I realized what a toll the business can take on you. Little did I know what was getting ready to happen in the economy, but I just knew that with your situation, with the kids and just what you were going through, that was going to be a really difficult transition at that time. And I knew you well enough to think, I just don't want to do that to you as much as, well, as much
and
as
now
I would
have been doing real estate. I get that. And I appreciate that, Kim, more than you know.
Retrospectively, you can look back and go, okay, good move on not getting into it at that time. So fast forward. So I just, I remember saying, I wouldn't do it right now. Let's get you a little more stable and then, you know, make that entree. And then fast forward, you did some additional engineering.
I went to work with for Texas A&M. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's
for
right.
About the same time I was at Southwest Research, which is odd. It was like 7.5 years, something like that.
Okay.
It's funny because you don't realize, but my dad was sick and I was traveling a lot. I mean, it just seemed right. And then my husband now, Brian, he said, do it. I mean, he was backing me. So that helps too.
Yes. No, absolutely.
And so I came to you and you're like, this time you said, come be.
Yeah. Because I felt like
2015.
Cause I felt like you were just in a better place to make the transition. Yeah. Because again, I think from the outside looking in, people always go, they think real estate's so glamorous and everybody just drives around these fancy cars and they just, you know, they just pull up to a house and say, this is it. And they make it happen. And then it's like a miracle and you get paid. And, you know, they don't realize all the trauma and drama that goes on behind the scenes and just how challenging a job it really can be. I mean, I love it, but obviously there's a whole lot more. There's, if you get to see the sausage made behind the, you know, behind the curtain, you know, at the factory, it can be a little crazy sometimes. So
most definitely.
How do you think that, because I have opinions on this, but how do you think your engineering background has helped you in real estate? Because I'm going to just say this, because you are uber smart and I know
thank you.
Yeah, no. And it's 100% true. And I saw that firsthand, obviously in when we were at Southwest Research, but I felt like, and I knew that side of your intelligence was going to translate into real estate. No problem. But real estate is not just, I mean, you can be super smart and not be good at real estate. But now that you've been doing it for basically 10 years and doing it at a very high level, multi-million dollar producer, super successful. And I really felt like I knew you were going to be successful in this industry, but the timing has to line up. All of that stuff has to be right. But what role do you think engineering has played in your success in real estate?
I think probably just being observant, because the last job I had was, I was an energy engineer. Yeah. And so I was always having to look at everything. Yeah. So being observant and knowing contracts, learning real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, just helping people.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, when I first would do the inspections, Dave would tell me, you're not an engineer anymore.
Yes.
Stop.
Stop being an engineer. Stop being an engineer on the job. Yes. But
because I could follow, you know, what they were talking about. Exactly. I might not be an HVAC expert, but I knew what he was talking
about. Understand. Yeah, absolutely. But I think you're also your analytic capabilities, I think, came into play, because I think being an engineer, you always had to analyze everything. At least I know when we were at the Institute, you definitely would have to analyze everything. And I feel like you've still been able to do from a bird's eye view, look at everything, whether it's to do a listing or to work with a buyer to help them assess what they should offer on a property. I feel like it's that analysis, that analytical capability that you have that I think is very helpful.
And sometimes you have to think outside the box.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of it I learned because it's real estate is different, you know, from you and Dave and Matt and everybody.
Right.
But thinking outside the box. And I'm good with that. Some people don't.
Right. Well, and for being honestly, and I know a lot of engineers, just because obviously we work together amongst how many engineers was that? But I think you're such a social butterfly and you're so good with people. Mm-hmm. And that's not a trait of engineers. I mean, trust me, when we were working there, you and I, we were like, we loved to talk to people. You know, we're just like always wanting to just be, you know, but nobody else wanted to talk.
No.
I mean, it was kind of like.
They just look at their feet.
Yes, exactly. They look at their feet. Hopefully that's what they're looking at. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. That's another topic for another day. Yeah. But anyway, that was, like I said, crazy, crazy times. But I feel like definitely they're, in general, engineers are not known to be social
right.
you know, creatures. And yeah. so I feel like you had the social aspect of it in addition to the intelligence and in addition to the analytics. And so I feel like it's that combination that's made you a very well-rounded, just uber successful agent. So mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just thrilled that we've come full circle from back in the 80s to now it's, you know, 2025. How did that happen? You know,
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel really old sometimes.
Well, I'm older than you. I'm several years older than you. So if you feel old, I feel older. So yeah. Anyway, but no, super, super cool stuff. So what do you think, now that you've been doing real estate for 10 years, what do you think is the biggest thing that has surprised you that you weren't expecting? Because I think everybody comes into real estate with a certain mindset, or they think they know what it's going to be like. And then the reality sets in. You're like, wait, wow, this is different than I thought. Yeah. So what was your kind of aha moment? What's different than you thought it was going to be?
A couple of things.
Okay.
One, I thought, you know, when you talk about being social, I thought there was going to be more social things.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things obviously you can go to, but you know, as an office, you always go in and you see everybody, you know, and it's not like that because everybody's doing their own. We're all independent,
right?
Even though we're at the same broker, we're independent contractors.
Absolutely.
I don't think a lot of people yeah. realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was eye opening and
yeah.
you know, people like, why are you trying to steal my client? I'm like, I'm not,
yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not. Yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so that's different. And then another thing is, not having control over the whole aspect of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, having to rely yeah. on other people.
Yeah.
Because I just would do it.
Yeah.
But I can't do everybody's job.
No. And that's what is so important about having a team.
Right.
Having, and when I say a team, I'm talking about a team of a great lender, a team of a great inspector, a team of a great insurance rep, a team of a great brokerage.
Right.
I mean, it's all of those different pieces that I feel like are so critical to doing a successful real estate transaction
right.
that you can be the best agent in the world, but if you don't have a good team around you, if you don't surround yourself with other like-minded and really top-notch professionals, it can be a slippery slope.
Yeah. And like you said, behind the scenes, sometimes our clients don't really know everything that goes on. I mean, they'll know things that are important, obviously.
Yes.
But there's a lot of things that, depending on your client, you don't want them to freak out and get upset
right.
when you're trying to handle it.
Right.
Until you know everything.
Right. No, that's
and
a great
the waiting
point.
Sometimes it just drives me crazy sometimes. I've learned to be better about it.
Isn't that Tom Petty song, The Waiting is the hardest part?
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, no, definitely. I could hear Tom Petty singing.
I saw him in concert.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. In fact, my daughter and I had gone to see Tom Petty. She had gotten a couple of tickets, and Dave, my husband, he loves Tom Petty, just was obsessed. And so he was so bummed that he didn't get to go with us. And then he was like, Courtney, you only got two tickets for you and your mom. And she was like, yeah, you know, you can go next time. And then Courtney and I went, and he died right after that. I mean, literally, yeah, Tom Petty died right after we had seen him. And so Dave,
I thought you said your husband. I'm like, which husband was that? I'm like, what are you talking about? Sorry. It's the tequila.
Well, do you need more? No, but definitely. I mean, we, like I said, we've definitely had some fun times. We've seen a lot of concerts together,
yeah.
But we've seen, I remember back in the day, do you remember when we first were, you know, kind of kindling the friendship, if you will, there was a TV show that we watched all the time called 30 Something.
Yes.
You remember that? Yeah. I know. I think that was, it had to be in the
80s. I love that show.
Producers?
80s, 90s.
I know.
Well,
I know.
It was
producers,
90s.
Check me on that. Was
early
it,
90s.
Was it the 80s or
yeah.
early
90s? It was the 90s.
Okay. Well, we've been friends since the 80s. So
yeah.
Definitely. And like if you started at the Institute in 88, then we would have been friends since
I remember going to the movies on Friday night, the first grand opening or the opening
yes,
night.
Yes.
And you
yes.
were pregnant, I think, with Steven. And it was me, you, and Courtney, and we go see the Steven Seagal movies.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's exactly
and
right.
And you would get popcorn, jalapenos, and something
did
else.
Did we go to the movies to watch the movies, or did we go to the movies to eat the popcorn and have the soda?
And watch Steven Seagal.
And watch Steven Seagal. Definitely. I think we both had a thing for Steven Seagal.
Back
then. He was back at, back in the day, you know. But definitely, I remember, well, we saw a lot of stuff. We saw.
Rod Stewart.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We've had some fun times, mm-hmm. definitely. And I know we've definitely spent some quality time at Paisano's and. had a few cocktails over the years.
The original.
Yes, the original.
Yeah, my dad got kicked out of there a couple of times or couldn't come back.
Really? I did not know that.
I can't tell those stories.
Well, your apple, the apple didn't fall far from the tree.
That's true.
I'm just going to say, you know? Yeah, no, I loved your dad. Your dad was amazing.
Yeah, he was.
And your mom is amazing.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, no. And again, the apple didn't fall far from the tree on your mom.
That's where I got my socials. You know, they were.
True. Yes, your mom is such a social butterfly.
The time my parents at your grand opening when you're Avalon,
yes.
Avalar.
Yes. When we had that franchise.
I went to leave and they're sitting in the car. I'm like,
I think they were making out or something, weren't they?
I asked him.
No, I'm serious. I seriously think your parents were. I mean, your parents were always like the life of the party.
They are,
I mean, seriously, they were so fun.
They were.
And your mom still.
Well, she's still fun. She's 82.
I know.
She'll be mad because I said that.
Well, but you know what? She is 82 going on like 42.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, I still look at her and she looks like she did 40 freaking years ago. She looks amazing. I always thought she looked amazing. When I met her, she looked like your sister.
Yeah.
I mean, just, it's always been that way with your mom. She's just a gorgeous lady and just a sweetheart. So just have loved every second of knowing your whole family. It's been it's been such a wild ride.
Definitely.
It's been a long ride too, right? Well, looking back, if there was one thing that you could have done, obviously you were an engineer, you did you've been doing the real estate thing, you're still doing the real estate thing. If you could go back and do something different, because I have an idea of what I would tell you to do, but what would you want to do?
If I could do anything, thinking back, sky's the limit. I think it would have been fun to have either a restaurant or a bar.
Oh, wow. I would not have guessed that.
Like a fun place.
Yeah.
Because people come in and you get to talk
absolutely.
To different people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you love live music and so all of that.
Yeah.
So, wow, I would not have thought that.
What would you think?
I'll tell you. And I'm going to pull the producers because I've got both of our fantastic producers with us. You've got Matt Stigliano and Katie Rodriguez on the helm. They are running this podcast, which is thank God for them. Tell me, and I know what I think she should be doing in another life, and I truly believe, I think...
A rock star?
Well, yes, you could have been a rock star.
Kidding.
Yes, you could have been a rock
but
star. You are a rock star. But no. Do y'all not know? I think you're going to know.
I'm going to go with private investigator.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you can find out anything. Anytime I need information
Nailed
on a client or something. Or,
Nailed it.
Or something weird going on with
a phone
number.
100%. 100%. That is exactly what I was going to say. Because I have never known. And I actually know some people that are private eyes. I mean, that are private investigators. You know, I think private eye is an old saying. I don't. I'm old.
Magnum P.I.
Exactly. Magnum PI, you know, but the bottom line is I think they're called private investigators now.
Yeah.
I don't think they're called private eyes, but anyway, I'm old, so I can say whatever I want.
I agree.
one of the other cool things about getting old is you can say whatever, you know, you want to say. So, pretty much, unless you're going to get censored. So anyway, but, I think you would be the best private investigator ever.
Well, just think if I had access to certain programs.
Yeah, but you do. I mean, you do in some cases. I mean, I'm just saying that you know how to literally, whatever you got access to, if I need more information on somebody that I think, you know, and this, let's face it, these days, there's some scam artists out there in real estate. I know we both had like flaky, like buyers that call you on properties and you're like, they're coming into a, I mean, I think you had somebody coming in.
Oh, that was that lady who told me to go buy dong.
Yeah, she
Vietnamese currency.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I showed
not
her
to date a dong.
So many
just
houses.
A, you know, I mean, just.
And luckily, I was like new, so not that I didn't really believe her, but I got to see all these houses.
Yeah.
In this one area.
Which was an education in and of itself, right?
It was.
But I mean, you know, over the years, we've both had clients that were coming into money. You know, they were coming into a large sum of money. And so they wanted to see the most expensive houses, you know, but it's like, okay, I need a little verification here. Yeah. But I feel like from a very early time frame, you were able to do a deep dive into, and you could be like, oh, no, you don't need to be working with that person anymore because this is this, and they were arrested and they were, you know, they murdered somebody in the shop. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? So
I, even my old, the people I used to work with used to have me like look up.
Yeah.
Try to figure out stuff about people their kids were dating.
No, exactly. No, if I ever needed to, and
it's just about what you put in.
Yeah.
And sometimes if I don't find anything, I might give it a break and then I'll do it a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're, like you said, the algorithms and stuff.
Yeah. No,
sometimes
everything's
depending
an algorithm.
On what you search for, it's looking for that. So you have to change it up. So.
Yeah. But you have to know that. I mean, I just, like
I said.
It's
fun for me. I like doing that.
I know you do, but that's
and
what makes you so good.
And then when I find something, I'm like I wondered, was that right?
No, but I think in most cases you are right. I mean, all the ones that you've looked up for me, or even when I didn't ask you to look up, it's like, you better be careful. I know you're working with so-and-so, but I'm kind of afraid about that. And you know, in most cases, you're right. I mean, most of the cases that you're like, you know what? I said, hey, this person's kind of, you know, and then you find out you're like, I would not work with them. And you were right. So I do feel like, you know, it's kind of like, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck. Can ducks talk?
Quack.
Anyway, if it walks and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? So I feel like, you know, I would hire you.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Yeah, right? You would be a.
I think you had a client that was an investigator.
I did.
A private investigator. And I showed him one time.
I actually had more than one client that was a private investigator.
I had a conversation with him about being. And I did.
I didn't remember.
But he
that.
Said they don't make very much money.
Well, that's true. I think it depends.
It depends on what you do.
I think it depends. And I think some of the PIs for the stars, I think there's some money to be had depending on what level you're doing. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, if you're a local kind of like PI, then you probably are not making the big bucks.
I mean, I don't know how you charge for that. You put your life at risk sometimes too.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I think that people don't really realize that. I think most of the time people don't understand. They just think, oh, you're just following people, taking pictures in the bushes and stuff like that. But I mean.
Which would be fun.
No, exactly. Well, I think it would be really fun if we did it after a trip to Paisano's. So, I think, or did we do that once? I'm not sure. Maybe we did. So.
Paisano's and then Dick's on the River.
Dick's Last Resort. Is that still around or did they close down?
I
think they did close.
Like recently, like last year or two.
Maybe so. But definitely. But they got over the trauma that we caused.
I'd actually been there several times and I couldn't go back. Just saying.
I'm not surprised that they uninvited us.
I went down there with some clients from Southwest Research.
I think you're right. I
think I was walking on the
We had to entertain
the railing inside, and they said, "Don't come back."
Yeah, exactly. No. I do remember that.
And then later, I think I was down there celebrating with my ex-husband. We were down there, and I said, "He goes, let's go into Dick's." I said, I walked in, and they're like, "The point," and I go, "Oh, we have to go.
We can't stay. We can't stay here anymore tonight."
That was fun.
Yes, it was. Those were the days. So, okay. Well, the next part of the podcast is absolutely, besides the toast, I think it's definitely my favorite part of the podcast. It is called Feral or Fabulous.
Okay.
Or it can be feral and fabulous, just depending on your point of view. So
okay.
I've got a few things that I'm going to, pick
Get
up
my
your
little paddle.
Paddle. Yeah. Pick up your paddle. The first one I'm going to give you,
I'm scared.
No, don't be scared. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Don't go downstairs. Okay. Christian Slater. Okay.
But I love him in a feral way.
Exactly. I knew it because we used to also go see, we would go see the movies all the time, but you always wanted to see the movies that had Christian Slater in them. Yes. So definitely, I can't even remember.
He wasn't nice to his wife or something. I don't know if it was true. And so I kind of got disappointed, but then I came back.
Yeah, exactly.
I
still you couldn't like resist. Yeah, you couldn't resist. Him. He has an untamed heart or something like that. I know. Yeah. I can't remember all the movies he was in, but he was kind of back in the day when we were going to the movies all the time, he was kind of the heartthrob.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we went to see Basic Instinct, I think, one time.
He wasn't in that.
No, I know. We still went anyway. We didn't care. It was a honey badger thing. So, okay. Roller skating. Feral. Okay. So you're not a fan.
No.
Oh my God. I love roller skating. No. Love it. Like, would love to go.
I just don't know what the point of it is.
Even now, at my age, I would love to go.
I mean, I can roller skate.
No, I know you can. You're very athletic.
But it's, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you are. You definitely are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I was on the dance team.
You were when you were doing Angus off the side of our deck. I saw you do a deep dive. I haven't ever seen anybody do.
My neck was sore. I kept thinking, am I hungover? Why is my neck sore? Well, then I realized why it was sore.
It was amazing you weren't in traction after that. Yeah. So.
And squirrel.
That's fine. True. Okay. So, I guess maybe we do need to go roller skating.
Maybe we do.
If you're up for it. I know you think it's feral, but I think we should try it. You know, we can, before we have to really be worried about breaking some bones, although at my age, I really should be worried about that now. But anyway.
We need someone to take care of us and watch us.
Well, that's true. Well, my husband's younger, so what the heck?
Legally, you're younger than me, I think.
Well, but you're several years younger than me, so, you know, whatever. I'm a cougar. So. Okay. this is the part, this is what we used to do in the Southwest Research meetings, where literally we'd be crying. We'd be having to look away from each other, you know, before we were
I remember a meeting just real quick that we went into and you were pregnant with Stephen, but nobody knew. But you started showing and I was,
did I know?
For some reason I was wearing a hat. I don't know why.
But you used to wear hats all the time.
And we walk in this meeting. Everybody's like, it was a division meeting.
You were like the younger version of Diane Keaton.
And everybody was staring at us. And I said to you, are they staring at us because you're pregnant or because of my hat?
That's true. Oh my God. I do remember you saying that. And now I'm trying to remember if I knew I was pregnant at that
you
time.
Weren't.
But I was probably showing. I was probably like 10 months, 10 months along. Or at least I started every pregnancy at 10 months. I don't know. That's how it felt. Okay. A massage.
Ooh.
I knew.
I love massages.
Do you know what? I love massages, and do you know why I love massages? Because of your mother.
Oh.
She got me hooked on Hazel.
Yes.
And
she was great.
She was amazing. Hazel was like the most amazing massage therapist
ever. She was American Indian, I think.
I know. And she was incredible. And so that's why I thought, you know, when I thought of things, you know, to ask you about, I thought massage.
Yeah.
So
I love massage.
Me too. I love me a massage. So
like heart,
we need
like
yeah, we need to do another.
Ones.
Yeah. We need to do another team trip, and definitely
the guy I had in Vegas was really good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. We need to do another team trip to Vegas. Definitely. I can't wait. That's, you know, all kinds of crazy things happen.
First time I ever went to Vegas was with the team.
Yes. Are you kidding?
No.
Was that the first time you had been? You never even went at the Institute? Oh gosh, I went to some conferences
there. That sounds crazy when you say that.
I know.
Institute.
It was an institute, though, was it?
God, we could tell stories forever.
I know, that's true. God, I'm so glad we didn't end up institutionalized from that. But anyway, Mexican casserole.
Oh.
I know. I love it. Because
my mom still makes that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Because we would always, we would go over to
her
each
last
other's
boyfriend loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, we would always go over to each other's houses and we would make Mexican casserole.
And
sangria.
Remember, you made the best sangria.
I do make that. I'm once a bartender, always a bartender.
Sangria.
So yummy too. It's so yummy. Yeah.
I think one night we drank sangria, so much sangria, and the next day we had some
was
kind
that,
of
was that the
blood
Angus
thing.
Night?
No. But
that
the next
was something
day, we,
else.
Remember we were doing that test thing for chromium?
Oh, that's right.
And we went
right.
in and the guy said, well, I need to talk to you about your blood work.
That's right.
And by yourself. And I said, well, I'm just going to tell her. You might as well be here.
Yeah, you needed
to stay there.
You needed a little blood in your alcohol. Counts. That's what you needed. For
and
sure.
I was thinking, damn, it's probably all that sangria we drank the night before.
Oh, my gosh. It probably was. It probably was.
That was a long time ago.
That was a minute or two.
Stephen was just a baby.
Yes. No. That was definitely a minute ago. But it was delicious. I still make Mexican casserole every once in a while. But target practice.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of feral.
Feral?
Yeah.
In what way?
It's fun.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Brian would probably say, but you never want to go with me. That's what he'll say.
But Brian would probably say it's fabulous,
oh,
right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He has a membership.
Yeah. Same with Dave. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
the
for
best
sure.
time we had was we were on the motorcycle, and we had our weapons with us, and we went out to Bandera to shoot because they had outdoor shooting range, not like all the fancy ones they have now.
Yeah.
There was something about getting off a motorcycle and your chaps and everything and having that just shoot.
Having that weapon. Kind of like fun. A scene out of the Matrix.
It was fun. Yeah, I'm a good shot most days. Yeah.
I know. I've heard.
But we shot when I was in dance team in high school.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. You.
Well,
you
and
definitely...
I grew up. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have no reason not to be a good shot because you've been doing it since you were a teenager.
Yeah. So. Some days I hit the target. Some days I don't.
That's okay. That's kind of in life, right? We're always trying to hit the target, but we
That's
don't
so
always.
True.
So.
So true.
Okay. I have a last one for you.
Okay.
Snow.
I don't like it.
Okay. Feral in a bad way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understand.
Fabulous. And if you're sitting and having, you know, a drink
hot
and
chocolate,
watching
a
it,
hot toddy.
But I don't want to have to deal with it.
Understand. You don't want to live anywhere Mm-mm. where it's like, you know, we get a dusting every few years, you know, but that's about the extent of it.
I mean, so. If you went somewhere to see it, but having to get around and shovel snow and it's cold and I'm old.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess with that.
You're not old. No, you're not old because if you're old, I'm older. So I don't want it to be that.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Well,
you've
for
been an amazing
me.
Guest. It's so fun to catch fun. Up and reminisce and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And so
thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you guys for catching another episode of Feral and Fabulous. We're going to keep on keeping on. So we'll see you soon.